pretty new to Integral. I'm so happy to be here. This is my first time. And really, the book that I read that led me to Integral was Reinventing Organizations by Frédéric Laloux, which was I found extremely moving. My name is Louise Evans. I'm the director of the Five Chairs Company. And this is something that I've been working on for about the last 7 years, and I'm so, so happy to bring it here. I thank Katya, who is the person that said it's a good idea to bring the chairs into Integral. I've been working in organizations with individuals, teams, and organizations in general for about the last 25 years, I think. I'm living in Italy at the moment. I've been living in Italy for 30 years. Italy has changed me positively. And this whole project began... So I work in companies. That's where I am most of the time. But I have had a spiritual life running alongside that. And that started off with Krishnamurti many years ago and his wisdom, which was... followed by Thich Nhat Hanh. Do you know Thich Nhat Hanh? The Vietnamese Buddhist monk, yeah? Fine, fantastic. Then Eckhart Tolle, the German, so the power of now, etc. And then Marshall Rosenberg, and I went to America. What they said, okay, Marshall Rosenberg, you need to do a 9-day course in communication. And I'm thinking... A 9-day course. Nobody has a 9-day course in communication. What? So I went and it changed my life. And part of the model that I have developed, I think what happened was that after being there, it was in Albuquerque, after being there, I thought, God, this is so powerful. It has got to go into organizations, but maybe in a slightly different way than a 9-day course, because you can imagine saying, you know, to like the CEO or a HR director, well, I've got this course and it's 9 days. Is that okay? And they will say no. So I think in America, they're down to about half a day for courses and things like this. So I thought, okay, this is my mission. Just how can I maybe bring part of nonviolent communication into another process and involve other things too from everything I've learned in my whole life to give back? Somehow. So this is the result. And what I would like to do with you is sort of take you through the process, but also come outside the process to talk to you about what would happen. Because this is a one-hour presentation of what can turn into a 5-day program. So we know what we're talking about here is like to the minimum. Katya would like to say something, would like to make the connection with Integral, so I'll hand over to Katya for a moment to talk about that.
Thanks, Louise. My name is Katerina Yasko, and I'm coming from Ukraine, and we've been working together with my husband and our small team with organizational development for the past years, and I'm the one who is... struggling with finding effective approaches on delivering emotional intelligence and, offering emotional intelligence courses to other organizations, but doing it in a really effective way. And here my role, I've met first my nonviolent communication, then I was totally amazed with the work that Louise did when we met during the IIT course in Italy in nonviolent communication. And I felt like this is what is so much needed for the organizations. And here I am to connect Integral and the Five Chairs. And I would like to say a few words about how do I see it. We all, the integralists, know quite a lot about the shadow and the urge and importance to work with the shadow material when we speak about human development. Usually we speak about it from the either a personal perspective or collective perspective when we're talking about countries. Not too much, in my experience, was said about the organizational shadow. Here is my, let's say, interpretation and attempt to connect this beautiful method to as a way to work with the organizational shadows. And what is organizational shadow? We know this Jung's idea of what is shadow, you know, most of us. This is some material, emotional material, not digested, suppressed or repressed to the unconscious. And many research, and most of us understand what research confirms, is that organizations very much dependent, are very connected and dependent on their leaders. So very often the culture of organization reflects the shadow part of the leader. There are beautiful parts of it and so some dark parts of it. Culture is the shadow of the leader. And there are always some dark parts of the corporate culture, some toxic behaviors, or some not necessarily violence in the way we used to perceive this word, but subtle ways of expressing violence through communications, through behaviors that are always there. Basically, in any culture, would it be an organization or a family or a country? So I would like to introduce basically what Louise already started to do is this wonderful chairs, a wonderful way of seeing the world through different models and patterns of behaviors that we express every day and a way to become more conscious about them. So, Louise.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was great. So, actually, the protagonists of this talk are the chairs. The chairs, and this is what I hope you will take away with you and that you will use for the rest of your lives. And each chair has a color. Actually, you know, before, when I was doing the model, I wasn't really part of Integral. And the colors that I'm using here, the colors of the chakras. Just wanted to tell you that because we had a conversation about, well, how does that fit into spiral, et cetera, and it sort of does, that's a long conversation. But anyway, every chair has a color, has a name, and also an animal metaphor. And we're going to get into that very, very soon. Let me take that from you. Thank you so much. So we're talking about, this morning, going back to that, Roger said it's about the 10 steps to how to take charge of yourself moment to moment. And I loved that he said that, because in many ways this model could be part of the practice. So let's get into it. We've given a practical and transformational tool for successful integral living and leading. Wow. Sounds good, yeah? Yeah. All right, so Frederick Laloux said basic assumptions of relationships in teal organizations. This is fantastic, and this is what we're talking about. We're really focusing in on this particular set of assumptions. It's impossible to change other people. We can only change ourselves. We don't spread rumors. We don't talk behind someone's back. We resolve disagreements one-on-one and don't drag other people into the problem. And we don't blame problems on others. So this resonates very much with the five chairs. So interesting work that was done by Global Human Capital Report saying that the workplace conflict costs more or less companies $350 billion a year in the USA. Now, that's a lot of money. Reality check. How many years do people spend in companies, organizations? Years of their lives. 40, I want to live where you live. Because in Italy, it's 47. I mean, people are retiring at 67 now. If you think we start working at 20 and we retire at 67. 47 years of... Okay, how many hours a day do you spend in an organization? Do people spend in organizations? 10. Yeah, minimum 8 to 10. Exactly, yes. And how many hours do they spend at home with the people they really love? 2, if you're lucky. Yeah. So depending on where you are in the hierarchy, maybe. But so actually, when you think of the reality of things, we spend most of our lives with people we don't necessarily love and we don't necessarily choose to be with. For the best years of our lives, from the age of 20 to 67. So question is, how do we go home in the evening after we spent the whole day at work? Well, there's, when I ask this question, and you can see you're not working in private organizations, because if I ask this question in organizations, they go tired, frustrated, exhausted, etc. And so it's about, well, isn't it incredibly important to make sure that the places that we live in are happy and places where we can thrive? And a lot of that is about how do you get up in the morning and what sort of behaviors do you take to work? I mean, we're talking about the VUCA world. You know, this volatile, uncertain. I'm sure you know a lot about this already. Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world. Okay, so get up in the morning, yeah? And we sort of do a scan. How am I feeling this morning? Now, VUCA factor, if you're in VUCA factor zero, it means zen, you know. If you're on VUCA, so 10 is like Kill Bill. So, you know, wake up in the morning, you do a scan, blah, 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 and you think, okay, I'm on about, I'm on about 7.5, 8. Okay, so I wake up with that. Now, if I'm conscious, it's one thing. If I'm not conscious, it's another thing. So all I have to do is on my VUCA factor 7.5 is, I meet him in the street or maybe in the car park. Or I might just go to work, because if I survive getting in a car and going to work without increasing my VUCA factor, then I meet him in the morning and I'm on VUCA factor 7 and he's on VUCA factor maybe 1. He's really zenning out. Some things are going to happen here. Now, I might just bite his head off when I ask him about the budget and he says, Now, I can bite his head off and I'm a bit out of control. I mean, what he does, he could run away. I mean, he could actually turn from being zen into VUCA factor 9 and bite my head off. And then that conversation goes down the drain. And if we think about it, organizations are all about people going to work, having conversations, and the quality of that conversation will lead to maybe some processes and procedures or productive work. However, if my conversation with you doesn't turn out very well, nothing much is going to happen. And if it's quite a bad conversation, I'll tell you what, I'm going to avoid you. And not only that, I'm not going to give you the information you need to do your project. So if you, I mean, bringing it down to a basic level is it's all about the quality of the conversations that we have every day, and we're all responsible for that. So I'd like to show you a little film, which is going to help us work on the five chairs. A situation at work between a couple of guys. It's about working at the weekend or not. It doesn't need any introduction, actually, so. Oh, weekend part two, sorry. It would be good if we started with weekend part one.
Didn't know you were a golfer, Steve.
Yes, Mike. Captain's tournament this weekend.
All right. Good luck. I need to spend some quality time with the kids. I was thinking the science museum.
Yes, about that. The CEO's asked us to pull together the Asia-Pacific marketing report early because she's flying to Tokyo on Tuesday.
Oh, you're joking. When does she want it for?
First thing Monday.
So we're going to have to work through the weekend?
I'm afraid so.
OK, so who wants to do which bit?
Well, I wish I could help, but I can't get out of this golf thing. The team's depending on me. There's no Wi-Fi down there or anything. If you could just get it done over the weekend and send it through to me Sunday night, I'll check through and make sure it's okay.
So how was the golfing weekend, Steve?
Fantastic. Don't think I've ever drunk so much in my life.
Oh, right. Did you win?
No, we never do. Great work on that report, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that idea on China looks interesting.
Yes, well, the social media landscape is very different there. They've got different networks and some pretty clever e-commerce features, so I thought it'd be a good idea to tap into those.
Great, well, let's see what the CEO thinks.
Morning, guys. Come in. Have a seat. Thanks for this. I read it on the way in.
Oh, you did? Great.
It's really good work.
Thanks.
I'm intrigued by the social media strategy for China.
Yes,
well... Yeah, well, the whole social media landscape's completely different over there, and their networks have got a lot of fantastic e-commerce features. So, makes sense to tap into them.
That's terrific. Well done.
If you were in that position, is it clear to everybody there? Yeah, with the language, right. If you were in that position and you were the person who had done the work, there are some choices here. Now, the question is, how would you feel in that moment? So, let's look at the chairs. So the chair, first chair would be here. Now, I'd like you to trigger me. And you're going to be the guy, the colleague who says thank you, because the CEO has just thanked you for this great report, okay? And you're going to do that 5 times as we go through the chairs, and I'm going to react to you in different ways, and we're going to look at what that entails. So when I do this in the chair, you see what I'm thinking. Okay, I'm not saying it to you, but you see what I'm thinking. So we just want to practice doing that. Brilliant. I love it. That's perfect. Okay. So, off you go.
Thank you.
I don't believe it. I mean, did you see what he just did? Who is this guy? I mean, it was me that spent the whole weekend. I mean, I even sacrificed being with my children to do this bloody report. And what's he doing? He's playing golf, saying that there's no Wi-Fi. Well, thank you very much. I mean, the whole weekend... Then he asked me about it, and I share. And not only that, he pretends it's his idea. I mean, excuse me, what is that about? Bloody hell. Shit. What's happening here? What's going on here? Sorry? What, wouldn't you be upset? I mean, excuse me, put yourself in my shoes, for heaven's sake. What else happened? Yeah, did you say that? Well, you're the fine one to say it. Bloody hell, you are the source of my frustration. Blah. What else is happening here? She doesn't know what she's talking about. I mean, you know, she's just as bad as he is. Victim, you must be joking. I mean, look at me, I'm not a victim. What else is happening here? Look, stop laughing. She's. Yes, of course. She understands me. At last, somebody does. Hmm? No, helplessness, look at me. I could kill him. In fact, you just... Okay, so here in this chair, there's a lot of emotion going on. That's why it's red. And the first thing I do is what? What am I doing? Attacking. Right, okay, so the name of this chair is Attack. And this chair, this is only one behavior that we have in this chair. There are many, 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 many behaviors which are all the toxic behaviors that we find in companies. So I want to ask you one very simple question before I reveal this is, can you describe that man with the long hair in the film? Describe. You know, after seeing that, describe him to me.
Well, he knows how to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, he takes advantage of, he's an opportunist. He's a winner. Hmm? He's a manipulator. What else? He's what? He's an egoist. He's a psychopath. Right, okay. So now, take two. So I said, describe this. What did you just do? Judge just a little bit. Psychopath? How do you know that? All right, so there is this absolutely fabulous thing from nonviolent communication. I always use this. I use it with banks. I use it in IT. I mean, the best test of the five chairs was using it in banks and in engineering companies. And people say, you must be crazy. You go into the training room with these things. And I say, you bet I do. So what is this? Sorry. They don't know what... I am not a wolf. Or what? Yes. I'm a jackal. Right, so a jackal. Yeah, there are not many in Hungary, I don't think. But it's a jackal. Anyway, this is a shakal, or a shakal. A jackal. So for the rest of your lives, this is going to represent any time you judge somebody else. But of course, you don't judge because you're integral, is that right? I'm sorry, I'm joking. Okay, so... the jackal. This is the jackal chair. I mean, we have super jackal behaviors in this chair. It's the attack chair. And when we're in this chair, we have some great games. So games like, do you know what went on in the break? This guy's, he's having an affair with the wife of the organ. Did you know about that? You did. You don't look very interested. What about you? Are you interested in the affair with, sort of? What am I doing? What's this? Gossip, toxic behavior. Other, so judgment, criticism, toxic behaviors, yeah? What about this one? And I tell you, you know, I mean, it takes ages every morning to for people to stand on stage and say in a sort of 30-second thing what they're going to do all afternoon. And what? Whining and, yeah, complaining, that's another top toxic behavior in companies, is complaining and whining. And what about this one? Yeah. So I'm listening to her, but she hasn't a clue what she's talking about. So when she finishes her thought, I will just tell her what's the truth. Yeah, because I'm right and she's wrong. Yeah, okay, she understands that too. Anybody do that? Preparing your answer, I'm right. You're wrong. Another big top toxic behavior in companies. But the best one, and the one that research says, if you can only just reduce this one game, companies would be much, much happier. It was you, wasn't it? Wasn't it? It was you. Oh, what did he do? What? No, it was you. It was you, wasn't it? Yes, good. So what's this game? Or maybe it was you. The blame game. The blame game has to be one of the most toxic games in companies. We waste so much time on it. First thing is somebody makes a mistake. Can't make mistakes. Some companies do. Google says you haven't made enough mistakes. Make good mistakes. But most companies are saying, you know, okay, the mistake, what do we do? How much time do we look for the culprit? Then when we find the culprit, what do? Blame, but no. More than that, what do? Oh, yeah, that too. That's great. We love shame him first, and then punish. Yeah, then we punish. How long does all this take? What impact does it have on relationships, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, obviously, in the longer course, we get into a very, very big exercise about blaming and shaming, et cetera, because it's very, very toxic in organizations. And if we can just look at that, if people understand the mechanics of the psychology of blame, because usually we do it through questions. We do it through questions like, who told you? Beginning with who, or with, why did you do that? Sorry? Or, when are they going to tell us? Okay, three questions, very powerful blame questions. if we just change our questions into something like how or what, like, okay, things happen, yeah? Things happen. And obviously, when a mistake is made, the jackal is going to talk inside. When we can calm down the jackal and the judgment, we will never stop judging. But we can be aware of it and then move on. If we can maybe ask questions like, in that moment when somebody feels shame, instead of shaming them, saying, okay, things happen. So what exactly happened? And what can we do to move on? How can I help you? Is there anything I can do to help the situation? Can we actually take the opportunity not to blame or shame people, which has to be one of the most painful emotions to feel, but actually say, okay, this is the situation, let's move on, and we'll go back and look at it later, but no blame, no shame. So we're talking about in this chair, how good are we at reducing the amount of toxic behaviors we all bring into companies? So, Mother Teresa said a wonderful thing. She said, the more we judge people, the less time we have to love them. So, wonderful expression, wonderful. So we're looking here at, okay, the games we play. This is the spiky chair. When we're sitting here, we could be playing any of these chairs, any of these games here. Judging, defense, complaining, gossiping, procrastinating, I'm right, you're wrong, blaming and shaming. Now, in a full course on the five chairs, we go deep, 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 deep into the fact that we are all doing this. We are all doing it, and we all have to be very aware that it is our responsibility, and there are other choices that we can make. So this is this chair here. Toxicity, entropy in companies. Attack, what have I got here? Oh yeah, okay, so what's the impact of the jackal behaviors? Well, at a personal level, reduced effectiveness, poor decision-making, irrational behaviors, don't try and make decisions in this chair because you make decisions out of pure emotion rather than rationality. Team and the organization, siloism, infighting. How many courses do we spend addressing the fact that sales is fighting with marketing? The supply chain is fighting with production. It's endless, endless. Command and control leadership is coming out of this chair here. Excessive micromanagement is coming out of this chair. And we're getting low trust and reduced collaboration. These are all competition, sabotages, all of this is holding our companies, our organizations back. So, are you ready? Chair number two. Thank you. Yeah, well, it always happens to me, doesn't it? I mean, it's not the first time. You know, people dump on me and then, you know, I find other people steal my ideas. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody understands me, you know. They're probably right. I mean, who am I anyway? What have I got to offer? And bit of a disaster, really, I mean. I'm trying to look after my family and get sabotaged every time. I mean, I suppose, what's the way out? Suicide. But I can't even choose which weapon to use or, you know, I mean, it's just a complete disaster. So, So what's happening here? Yeah, you big time. What? What did you say? Sorry? You mean this? Maybe. What? With words. Yeah, I'm saying I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm just not enough. You mean something like that? In here? Maybe. Anything else? Well, wouldn't you be? I mean, excuse me, look at the situation. Of course I'm self-piteous. Yes, I'm definitely depression. Yeah, I'm close to that. And I think I'll be off work for another 5 weeks. I've already been off work for three. Self-sabotage. I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure she's right. You see, I'm not intelligent enough. Self-sabotage, absolutely, yes. So here we collapse. What animal could this be? So I'm feeling actually quite vulnerable here. But it's a bit complicated because if anybody come, I mean, I can be quite as well. I can be quite protective of myself. Something like that, smaller, the hedgehog. Because this is a tricky chair. You know what victims are like? Victims are very, very needy. Have you ever had a victim in your team? How much attention they need? Sometimes it's much easier to manage a jackal than it is a victim. So the hedgehog chair. Okay, so vulnerable. And the name of the chair is, it's yellow. Name of the chair is self-doubt. Here. And it's all about those thoughts that go in our mind, in everybody's minds, such as, well, before we look at that, is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful phrase by wonderful leader Eleanor Roosevelt. Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. Lots of work to do in this chair. Yeah, it's maybe what when our parents have said something to us when we're young, it's like, you're lazy. And so when you're young, like two or three, and your parents say, I'm lazy, then it's not as though you say, oh, mum's having a bad day. She's just tired. She doesn't mean that. No, we believe it. So we think, I am lazy. And so after a while, there are many things we believe about ourselves which are just not true. So we have this inner critic going on in our minds all the time. It's about, I'm not good enough. How many of you felt in your lives, I'm out of my depth? Yes, like shit. Exactly. What about, this is too hard. Can't do this. You put this into an organizational context and this happens every day. I don't know what to do and I'm afraid to ask because if I ask, people will think I'm stupid and I can't do that because this culture in my organization is not safe enough for me to actually say that. So I tell you what, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to stay silent. And you know how much silence is destroying companies? People are afraid to speak up. So people at the top of organizations never find out what's going wrong because people are afraid to speak up for two reasons. One, because they're going to be judged. And the other reason is because it's futile. Even if I speak up, my leaders will not listen to me. Desperate. So, of course, all of this is about leadership as well. It's about what style of leadership do we choose to bring into organizations. I don't know what to do. Why does it always happen to me? It doesn't happen to him, always to me. I'm not competent enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not all of that. I'm just not enough. We know about that. Nobody appreciates me. So a lot of this is about being valued in an organization. And when you talk to people in organization, when was the last time somebody came up to you and said thank you or showed you real gratitude? We seem to forget to do that. We do that to our children, but after a certain age, we just stop doing it. Because other factors come in. So this chair is a very, very sensitive chair. We sort of collapse on ourselves in many ways. The impact is low self-esteem, low self-belief, inferiority complex, everything that we've talked about. Passive-aggressive, I can't spell, that should be two G's. That could be, however, in this chair, is if somebody does in some way not see me or not value me, I could also decide, in that situation, the film, I could think, okay, right. I know where your car is in the car park. And I have a good set of keys. So, of course, it doesn't produce any good results, but it certainly could come out of this chair. So, impact on the team or organization's poor performance and engagement, reduced commitment, reduced contribution, heaps of absenteeism, lots of people not turning up to work. Painful chair. One of the ways to get out of this chair is actually, and there's a lot of work to be done on that, is I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. If you can just say that, if we can say that to ourselves, I'm in trouble, I need help. You know how when I ask people in organizations and I say, can you go and ask for help? Put up your hand if you can ask for help. Percentage, right. In organization, percentage of people who put their hands up is about only 30%. Why? Because of fear of being judged. You can't ask for help. We don't feel safe. So then it's all about, okay, what resources do I have in myself? And can I remember the inner resources that I have to get out of this chair? Let's move on. We have to move fast, I'm afraid, because of time. Because, I mean, basically, as I say, you know, there's so much to do in each chair when you work with leaders, etc. But we move on. Are you ready? Now, this could be milliseconds, this could be 1 minute, it could be 1 day, it could be 1 week, it could be 1 year. Roger Walsh this morning, stop, this is the chair. So, he just said, thank you. I choose to suspend my judgment. I don't want to jump to conclusions. I don't know what's going on in his world. How many people know what's going on in each other's worlds in companies? It's all about being human doings and not human beings most of the time. We know very little about each other, especially in the VUCA world, moving so fast. I want to stay calm, not easy, when I got the jackal in my ear going, yes boy, damn boy. Yeah. I mean, with the jackal, you see, when the jackal comes up, and there was a lovely session before about nonviolent communication, is we don't want to scold the jackal. When the jackal comes up, it's usually to protect us. There are very good reasons why the jackal exists. So it's more about, yes, darling, I see you, but not now. So it's a bit like the French coffee machine, you know. Because I know if I go there, I'm not going to be productive for myself, for the other person, for the situation. So here, it's about, okay, take a deep breath, pause, count to 10. All the things our parents have always told us all our lives long. But it's also more specifically about the fact that in every moment I have a choice. This is the chair of choice. It's the sliding doors chair. Who has seen that film? Oh, brilliant film. Okay, so the Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, she's standing on an underground station, sliding doors. And the tube comes up, and the doors open, and she has a choice. The film is superb, because one choice is she gets into the metro, and off she goes into one possibility of a life. And then the other half of the film is she says, no, I'm going to stay here. And we get another life which takes off. Have you seen the Matrix film? Okay, perfect. Like red pill, blue pill. In every moment I have a choice. Fantastic in that film when that rather gorgeous Keanu Reeves, this is for the girls. If you can think about Keanu Reeves in that film looking rather young and gorgeous and all the rest of it, it's not bad for this chair as an image. As he is in front of three guys who are shooting bullets at him, he goes, stops the bullets, takes one, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. This is the chair of curiosity. Because when, for example, maybe you are going, you're angry. Now, I can have maybe a choice. I can judge her from here and say, oh, for God's sake, why don't you grow up thinking this? The other could be, oh, what am I going to do now? I have no idea how to cope with this. But the other could be, because the mantra in this chair is, that's interesting. Wow. So, we've all felt anger. Anger is not a negative thing. It's just sending us a message. So we're saying, that's interesting. Can we switch from to that's interesting and stay in curiosity? Because if we are in curiosity, we don't judge. Because the mind is open to understanding. So this chair here is the pivotal chair of the five chairs. Now, what is the animal? Because in this chair, we are very vigilant. We are very still. We are observing very closely what's going on around us. What animal does that impeccably? Owls. Yeah, I wanted to use an owl, but you know what? It's not universally positive. Because I live in Italy, and in Italy it has a negative connotation often. So unfortunately, it wasn't usable because this needs to be a global tool. An animal, it's a small animal, lives in the desert. It sort of stands like this with its like this, and it only moves its head. It will stay on sentinel duty for its family for one whole hour, just looking around. Yeah? Meerkat. Anybody know what a meerkat is? Okay, who doesn't know? Because this is not a common lesson. Exactly. So let me show you what the meerkat is. They are absolutely adorable here. That doesn't help you much necessarily. So I've got a little film for you. And I want you to watch the beauty of these animals, because these are the characteristics that we have to take on as humans in this chair as we get into it.
Swift's family, the Whiskers, have allowed our camera crew to get close enough to capture every intimate moment.
I've been lucky enough to film with elephants, gorillas, bears, and none of them have ever sat on my head. I guess that's a good thing.
Crucially, our filming doesn't interfere with their natural behaviour.
Meerkats here have been studied for over two decades, which means they're completely habituated to humans.
Having had lots of contact with scientists studying their lives over the years, they simply see our crew as part of the landscape.
Swift is taking shade in the shadow of our director's buttocks. There's some substantial shade there.
Meerkats are naturally curious. If they weren't, they would never find the prey that lies buried in the sand. And while they give us great stories, a tall cameraman makes a perfect vantage point to scan for predators.
Can you keep still up there, please?
So, amazing creatures, yeah? That stillness. is in a moment, it's a bit like when I think of people who do martial arts, you know, and some of the best leaders I've ever met are people who have been doing black belt karate and they've got to Dan level, etc. Because when everybody is panicking all around, they sort of go into like, they come completely centered in that moment, and they're the only person that's actually thinking and not in their emotions. And in a way, that's what I love about the meerkat, is you can see them. They're very, very attentive for a very, very good reason. And in the chairs, it's about they are watching over the potential predators, which are here. And these are the behaviors which take us off track. So the meerkat, the name of the chair is not stop. Is weight, but it's more or less the same. So this is the weight chair. And I love this chair. This is one of the, when I read this book, which is In Search of Meaning by Viktor Frankl, one phrase stood out for me and almost practically changed my life. Everything can be taken from man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. And that is such a call to us to responsibility. And it's so freeing. So it's the idea is that I have the choice. And I'm going to find myself in situations where the choice is going to be very difficult. But I always have choices. And those are my choices. So choosing one's attitude in every given circumstances, I think, is what successful living in companies is all about too, is can we help people be more conscious about what they are bringing into the world in every conversation that they are having? And if they are sitting here or here, can we become aware of that and move out of them a bit faster? We're not going to be able to turn them off, but we can turn down the volume for sure. Now, this is the transitional chair here, the meerkat chair. And the characteristics are sort of state of suspension in many ways. It's about WAIT is what am I thinking? What am I telling myself? So we're coming into consciousness here. We're coming into the beginning of self-awareness. And we're suspending judgment. We're doing conscious pausing. We're looking for emotional stability. We're high on observation. Curiosity is high. We have a choice. And I think this is one of the most... I've done a TEDx talk. And I'm so happy because now we've reached about 660,000 visualizations. But what really touches me is below in the comments about the five chairs is people are saying, I didn't realize I have a choice. That for me is so moving, is that, you know, maybe if I know I have a choice that I can choose different behaviors, I will start practicing it. So in the weight chair, the Manchester is, that's interesting. Now, not the British, that's interesting, because if any of you know about British people, when they say that's interesting, it usually means the opposite. Is like change your idea because that's ridiculous. But that's the pure, interesting, fascinating, to keep up our curiosity. So let's move on. You ready?
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. So... So when I, okay, we agreed, he told me that he would be playing golf. He said, why don't you prepare the report and then I will look at it on Sunday evening. I didn't disagree to that. When he came in the morning, I asked him about his golf. And he said he didn't win. He said that he liked the idea. He liked the report. He asked me about the China issue. When we went to the CEO, he presented the idea as though it was his own. Okay. So that makes me feel a little bit frustrated. There's a bit of anger there too, and actually confused and sad, because what is really important for me, what I need as I'm working with a person, is some collaboration, recognition of contribution, ownership around ideas. This is really important for me. So knowing that, I need to do something. I need a strategy. I have some options. I'm not going to speak to him right now in front of the CEO, because that would be shooting myself in the face. I probably need to speak to him, but I need to calm down before I do that, and I have to prepare that conversation, because that's going to be a courageous conversation. I could also forget about it completely, but I don't trust that, because probably I would find another time to punish him later. So I need a conversation. And I'm going to base it around what I've just understood about myself in this situation. So I have to get ready for that. And probably it's not going to be immediately after the meeting. Depends how I feel after. Right now, in the meeting, I am upset, but I'm going to... He said the top ideas. What I can do, actually, as a strategy right now to meet my needs for recognition is I can elaborate on the ideas. I can elaborate on the ideas in front of the CEO, so there will be an understanding of who did some work here. Okay, I think I have clarity now, and I can move into action. All right. So what's happening here? Analyzing, right. Okay, I'm taking the energy from this chair and saying, right, let's think about this. So I'm really working from a more rational mind, and what exactly am I doing? Anybody who was in the session before, wonderful session, knows exactly what I'm asking. Because here we're going into full, what? Full non-violent communication, yeah, right. So this is the first chair of non-violent communication, which is observation. I observed his behavior, I didn't judge it. So I stayed calm. Because if I said, I'm back in the jackal. Then I analyzed what? My feelings. And the beauty of nonviolent communication is that every emotion that we have is linked to a need. If I'm feeling frustrated, it's because a need I have is not being met. If I'm feeling joy, it's because a need I have is being met. So the full nonviolent communication process comes in here. Observations. How do I feel? I'm feeling that because what is really important for me is. And because it's important for me, I have to do something about that. Now, that might be making a request. And there's a whole lot of work we will do on how to make requests. It can be anything, but it'll be moving forward and making change happen, because that's important for me. Otherwise, I'm not having the conversation. What I see time and time again in organizations is people have failed conversations. They think, oh God, I got to talk to him about that. I mean, that's not good enough. Right. So maybe they say, hey, can I talk about what happened? You stole my idea. Now, you say you stole my idea. You're probably going to get a reaction from here is, what do you mean I stole? Or it could be, oh, that will not keep us in the conversation. From this chair, we need a conversation to make change. So we got to have a conversation which at the beginning is not going to create some defensive reaction in the person. A conversation that people can hear, that takes preparation. We don't do the preparation very often. We go into conversations, and before we know, we're into conflict. Beautiful thing about nonviolent communication is it gives you the tool for these courageous, difficult conversations, but you need to practice. Observations, feelings, needs, requests, time and time again. And obviously, in this chair, there's lots and lots of practice about that. So we come into our full power here. We know who we are. We know what's important. We know what we want to do. We have our boundaries. Here we don't have boundaries. People push into our boundaries here, just as in that film. He had a choice. Because when he said, "Oh, you can you just prepare it, you know, and I'll look at it on Sunday night?" He goes, "Okay." People dump on him. Many people get dumped on in organizations because they don't know how to speak up. Because speaking up is from this chair here, and we don't learn to do that. It's not on the school curriculum. We have to learn to do that. Because this is the authentic voice coming through. So, can you think of an animal? I mean, in this chair, we are in our full power. We are empowered. We experiment. We're courageous. And we are responsible. Now, responsible is such a beautiful word because it's responsible. It is our responsibility is about our ability to respond to life in any moment. Responsibility. So here we decide to speak up. Now, I want you to think of what you a creature that has characteristics which is similar to this chair. Very, very intelligent. Excellent communicators. The level of communication is so sophisticated that even we don't understand it. Yes, the dolphin. So the dolphin has so many beautiful, beautiful, beautiful qualities because it also has a lot of fun in it as well, but very assertive animal. So here we're into the dolphin chair. It's the detect chair. And when we're talking about detect, it's like being a detective of yourself. So you are Sherlock Holmes of yourself because as you go into a situation and you take a deep breath, it's like, oh, something's happening. Wait a minute. Oh, what's going on? What's up? Let's see. Quick span is... Honestly, the more you practice it, the more quickly you can do it, but it takes practice. But it all starts with this is, oh, here we go. Ooh, and then... And in other situations, however, it's right, okay, now this is a big conversation, so I am really going to sit down and write it down because I'm not going to go to my boss without having a very, very good, well-prepared conversation because it's not going to work. So the dolphin chair is the chair of knowing yourself, and as Aristotle said, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. And we can be sitting in this chair. We will be sitting. We all will be sitting in this chair all our lives because we believe we never stop growing and we never stop learning. So the characteristics of the dolphin mindset is self-awareness, the responsibility, it's speaking up, and the big part of non-violent communication is the needs awareness here. And it's all about me, actually, in this chair. Who am I? What do I believe? What do I need? And the important questions to ask yourself here is, what's important for me here? What are my feelings and what are my needs? So we come into assertive leadership, not aggressive leadership, but assertive leadership. And this is the chair which has, if you think, and the process here, and we don't have time to go through it, but it's a beautiful process, and this is the basis of very powerful conversations that you would have here, is what happened, what did I feel, what do I need? What's important for me? And what's my request or what's the solution? So I like to think about leadership as push and pull. And it's absolutely essential, I think, that we have both. It's an integral thing, I think, is we need to be able to be in this chair in certain situations. So when we want to have courageous conversations, for example, when we want to give constructive feedback to people or feed forward, when we want to delegate with care, when we want to mentor people for empowerment, when we want to team sculpt, we're doing it from this chair here. And we're driving. We're leading in an empowering way. So it's all about the push leadership. But of course, that's not the whole story. Last. Wow. Okay, he's looking happy and pretty content with what he's just done. It's okay. I'm wanting to try and understand what's important for him here. Not easy, because he obviously has needs. The fact that he came into the meeting and presented my ideas as his own, there must be a reason that he did that. I don't want to jackal him, or rather I have jackaled him, but I want to keep that, put that aside for now, because people usually do things for a reason. I don't want to negatively judge him. I don't actually know what's going on in his life. I mean, I can only guess at the moment because I know I need a conversation. However, to prepare that conversation, part of it is, if I go into an observation and I say, I noticed this, 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 and this, and happened, I need to check with him that he's having the same perception as me. So I'll say, is that right? Was that what happened for you too? He might say something completely different, like, no. I thought we did the work together. And I thought we work as a team, so it's quite normal. I saw you hesitate, so I thought I'd jump in and present the ideas myself. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. So this is all about, can I understand him? The motivation, what's important for him? What are his feelings? What's going on in his world? Because I need to know about that to have the right conversation with him. So here I am projecting completely into what are his needs, what are his feelings. I'm trying at least to understand this. Very powerful chair, very difficult. And what's the animal? Biggest heart of all land animals.
Yeah, you know that now, yeah. Exactly.
Yes, it's got 5 minutes. So, and of course, where we get out the other, where is it? Absolutely essential to have these two in any training room. We always have a choice. So here is the giraffe. And this is all about empathy. Yeah, and trying to understand other people's needs. People usually love playing with these in the training room. So we're talking about the Connect chair. And the giraffe, and in this chair, it's about, I don't like that man, I must get to know him better. So very powerful that in Abraham Lincoln, it's about what is it that that person, which red button are they touching in me? Because they're not touching it in somebody else, so there's something going on between him and me that I need to look at. So this is fully opening the heart. It's about the giraffe mindset, which is being aware of other people, working on empathy. Of course, the work that you can do is enormous here in all of these chairs. Multiple perspective taking, needs awareness. It's all about inclusion. And it's about what is going on. You change your questions. What is going on them? What are their needs? What's important for them? And even more, when you get up to the real high level of leadership responsibility, it's about what can I do for both of us? So a dance of life really becomes, if this is push skills, these are the pull skills, and we're talking about leaders or people listening to your people, leveraging your combined intelligence, coaching and supporting, modeling empathy at the top of the organization, leveraging diversity, which is so, so important now, especially if we want innovation and creativity. So, So the invitation of the chairs is, because obviously when you do a training, we play with the chairs a lot. They are always here, and you, I mean, in a day, you can wake up in the morning, you're feeling, and then you have a phone call, and you think, just a minute. Whoa, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. And then you can, after the phone call, think, oh, what a disaster, I can't do this anymore. And you think, no, come on, wake up, wait, oh, you can, right. I need to prepare a conversation, but wait a minute, I first have to understand what the other person was thinking before I do that. So let's dance between these two chairs and think of the right action, maybe. So in any moment in our lives, whether you're at home, you're at work, whether you're walking down the street, we have a choice. Very often when this comes up, it's about, not a good idea, let's go here. That's why I loved what Roger said this morning about stop. This chair is inviting us to stop. You know, be meerkats, become a meerkat. Yes? Yeah, that's about what's going on them, what are their needs. Oh, sorry. Yeah, lovely. So, this thing here, everything, I love this. Everything, no, I've already said that, haven't I? Yeah, I keep repeating it. It's sort of like a life motto type thing. What can happen in the chairs is leadership questions for collaborative sex can be, can I ask myself, like, are my emotions and my ego under control, or are they controlling me? And a question I love to ask leaders is, are you high maintenance? What are people saying about you when you're not there? You know, challenge them to think about the impact that they're having on people, but having fun with it. As the idea of the chairs is not to be threatening, is we all relate to the chairs, because we all do it. Yeah, so that we can have some fun around animals and things like that. Am I managing my fears? Am I calling on my inner and outer resources to help me? Am I suspending judgment and practicing curiosity? And am I aware of my choices as we come here? Am I suspending judgment to practice? No, I just said that. Am I being authentic and speaking my truth? My God, the work we have to do here. Am I also protecting my boundaries? You know, how many people you talk with, boundaries? What are you talking about? Oh, I have boundaries? I had no idea. And am I aware of other people's needs? Am I respecting their boundaries? So as a model, we are sort of moving from red to purple, which is this type of behavior, to that type of behavior. And the work that I'm doing is in many different levels in organizations, mainly in international organizations. And I just love to have, the chairs are attracting some extraordinary experiences, and I need to share this with you because it's sort of integral. There's a company in Belgium that asked me to go and do the chairs with their global HR team, and the global HR team said, "Well, we're doing a leadership program across the whole company, at three tiers. It's grow ourselves, grow others, and grow the business." And we would love to use the five chairs as a model for grow ourselves. And I said, yeah, sure. What are you talking about? They said, oh, the whole organization. And I said, well, what are we talking about there? And they said, 12,000 people. So I was like, sorry? Yes, 12,000 people. Oh, right. And we are about to do it. I did it with the CEO team. The CEO team said, right, we're going with it. They want to take it right down to the factory floor. And this is one of the most moving things I've done in my whole professional life, is to have access to 12,000 people, many of whom are factory workers. And this CEO is extraordinary. He's French, and he's saying, people first. And he's saying, we need to look after our people. If we're doing leadership, we need to do it with everyone. Let's try. we want people to speak about the five chairs and change the culture. It's an experiment. I hope to see you again. It's going to take 2.5 years. Lots of local coaches too in local languages. But we're going to test the robustness of the tool as it goes into different cultures to see how universal it can be. And I would be so happy to share with you maybe next year or when we next meet about how it's working and how it's, or not, as the case may be. So I realize it's a few minutes after six. Do you have any comments or anything to say, first impressions of what's coming at you from any questions about the chairs? This chair. You see, the other thing is, I love this, because you get any questions about this? So the chairs looks like this. Oh, for Christ's sake, I mean, these people are supposed to be integral and they're not talking. And why don't they speak up and speak their truth here, right? This one. They don't like it. It's a disaster. My God, integral doesn't like it. I'm going to commit suicide. This one. Wait. People are reflecting. They're thinking. Give them time. Give them time. Give them time. This one. Okay, I'm feeling anxious to know, because what's really important for me is that I get feedback from people who are really in the business and can give me some juicy indications about, well, just to share. That's what's important for me. What's important for them? I'm not sure, actually. I mean, I'm really curious to know. That's why I asked the question. But what's important for them? What do they need? Well, I expect some people need to go to the toilet, actually. they need some rest. So I'm feeling a little bit, you know, uncertain about asking this question. But I'll go with it. Yes.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Do you have
trainers
training, and how long does it take?
Yes. Oh, thank you. We're doing, I have a group of coaches which we have got together for this particular program. There is a facility, it's a copyright program, obviously, and there are certification programs to days, you mean? How many days? That's a conversation we can have. Yeah, 1 month retreat. Yes, and well, we've just done a retreat. Actually, it takes at least 3 days, but we're actually still working on the certificate process because it's such a new tool coming onto the market and opening out into the market. Let's say. So that's a. Let me leave you my. Okay, this is that's a bit here. Oops, sorry. There is a TED talk, if you're interested at all, about the chairs, which goes into. Okay, so the website is. www.thefivechairs.com. There, and I would be very happy to have any conversations that you would like to have. And the book is Five Chairs, Five Choices, which is available on Amazon here, which really goes into the chairs in much greater depth. But I think, yes. Yes.
And they actually work very well with easy to understand.
Yes.
And then they also very participated very much.
So yes.
You mentioned that you have some great results.
Yes, thank you for saying that. Some people have said, oh yeah, I want to add two more chairs. I said, oh no, you don't. You don't touch the chairs. Because it's about the simplicity. The CEO said that works with everybody. And that was the reason I think that he was going with it, is simplicity is Thank you for saying that. It's, for me, it's absolutely essential to remain at that accessible level to everyone. And you can make it as sophisticated or as not, depending on who you're delivering it to. Yes. Yes. Oof. I mean, you do a 6-day leadership retreat with people over a period of time. You go deep. Or you can do, yeah. Or you can do a 1-day event. Or you can do an afternoon thing. You can do an 18-minute TED talk. I mean, obviously, you're going to have different impact. But what I'm working on is the 6-day leadership. Or I've done the 6-day leadership course several times now, and it has a really deep impact. But I was working with leaders at the top of an organization where it was dysfunctional. We turned the team, the top team, and they said, okay, let's take it down to the line managers. So we took it down across 25 line managers, and it changed the culture. Because everybody below was going, oh my God, they're different. So they were setting, modeling new behaviors, and this was so precious. And that is the idea, is it's got to be, it's as always, it's the top team has to run with it. And then you can really start cascading it. And as I say, with this Belgian company, it's the first test of a really big rollout. So I'll be really looking forward to giving the feedback on how that goes. Yes. I love that. And you know what we're doing, right? With the company... With the Belgian company, we are now working exactly on that. This is the first opportunity where the five chairs goes wild, basically. And he said for him, he didn't initially need it because he believes in the tool. But it's about, okay, let's be more rigorous about this. And so we're in conversation right now about how to measure the impact. Because it's not easy, it's soft skills. And it's very unusual for a company to take soft skills right down. They do compliance training across organizations, but not soft skills. So that's a big conversation to have, is how do you measure the shift? Yeah, exactly. And I think we decided to go down, and over a period of 2 or 3 years, HR, their duty is to keep it alive in the organization with posters, with chairs all over, like which chair are you sitting in right now? So the whole organization is really working on keeping the tool alive so that people are talking about it, but we're also designing puppets to take so that people who have done the course go home with finger puppets and they teach it to their families. So that going back to the beautiful conversation we had in the first days, potentially, okay, we're talking about 12,000 workers, but it's 12,000 families potentially we can touch if we can bring, because kids get so fast, much faster than we do. And we tried it out with Catherine's lovely daughter. I mean, like in the space of 2 hours, she was saying, well, I tell you where I'm sitting, here. And when I'm not sitting here, I'm sitting here. Like, immediate, yeah? Yes. Yes, right. Well, we took it into cut. Yeah. So, yeah, it's an exciting journey. We'll see where it goes. So stay in touch. And thank you very much for also staying for a bit longer, and we'll see each other around the bonfire. Hmm?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.